Today is a special day for us as a church family to focus on the future and where we're headed as the future arrives, because ready or not, it's arriving. Futures are funny that way. And I've allowed myself 3 minutes to introduce all this, so let's get right to it. Leadership felt that it was very important as we did this to communicate. And so I'm up here with some of my favorite guys this morning from our eldership to talk about where Central is headed as a church family and what's down the road. Jesus had a lot to say about looking at what's ahead and thinking about it and preparing for it. Now, that's how we end up talking about things like vision and mission and values and purpose. And that's why we're giving some attention to those today. Central has a mission statement. It's a really good summary of what we exist to do. It is the mission of Central Christian Church. But wait, there's more. There is also, behind that mission, a vision of a preferable future, of where we would like to head, or where we should head. A lot of you are familiar with those terms because you've worked in companies that concentrate on those, that focus on mission and vision. And a lot of companies in the past have done a good job of crafting statements that talk about where they are in their vision, how much they want to grow, how much they want to become influential as a company. But looking through the vision statements of several successful companies, one thing I noticed about those that really stand out are companies that don't just talk about how they want to become bigger, but about how they want to make a better world. And those companies have a tendency to be very successful. We're not a company, we're a church. And shouldn't the church have a vision that talks about being a better world to live in, making the world a better place like God wants it to be? Well, Jesus didn't tell Peter, build my church. He told Peter, I will build my church. He told Peter, feed my sheep. He gave Peter something to do as a leader in the church. And he gave us as the church the marching orders of making disciples of all nations. That's something that Jesus has set out in front of us. We're not supposed to be all about becoming just a bigger church. We're actually supposed to be something about making people who are outside of the church a part of it. Amen? So if I could hang a vision out there this morning for Central Christian Church to build on today, it'd be something like this. Our vision is a community where lives are continually transformed to become like Jesus Christ. That's fairly simple. Something to look for. Right now, Rockford doesn't look that way, does it? Honestly. But that is the community in which we live. And that gives us a desirable goal to work toward, doesn't it? To continually give us a reason to do our mission. Remember our mission. So what if we took that vision and we attached it to our mission? It could sound something like this. Our vision is a community where lives are continually transformed to become like Jesus. To bring that to reality, we glorify God by reaching people for Jesus and growing them up in the Holy Spirit, both locally and globally, so that his kingdom may grow. So this month we're going to be looking at that in various ways. I'm going to be speaking about it next Sunday. Brian and Brian are going to have some opportunities to talk about parts of that. But right now we're going to hear from some of the elders about the direction that Central's headed. And Tom's here to start that up.
One of the things that always strikes me when I'm watching older television shows is the frequency in which the Bible is referenced, maybe an event or a person, even a quotation of Scripture, and I do not see that or hear it in newer television shows. That's a reflection of the fact that our culture no longer has this common base of biblical background and knowledge or church understanding. So one of the goals that, one of the overarching goals that we are wanting to address is to be more intentional about the way we communicate and look to people who know nothing about the church or people who have left the church for some reason. That can be as simple as the words we use. You know, we use a lot of words like justification and sanctification and propitiation. And, you know, if you don't know what that means, I might as well be speaking Klingon or something, because those are wonderful things to know, but if you don't understand it, you're not going to get anything out of it. Well, let's not stop using those words, but let's be careful to explain what they mean when we use them so there's an understanding. You know, you think of just something like VBS, and we say VBS is coming. Well, if you don't know, if you have no understanding, haven't been around the church, what's VBS? Kind of sounds like a disease, you know? But you just might be excited if you knew what Vacation Bible School was all about and what it involved. So just little things like that, being careful in the way we communicate can be very helpful. I was reminded of an old song by the group Petra, and the lyrics go, "Another sleepy Sunday, safe within the walls, outside a dying world in desperation calls. But no one hears their cry or knows what they're about. The doors are locked within, or is it from without?" You know, we've got to get out of these walls in order to be for the light to shine. So that's part of this idea. Listen, we're not going to compromise the truth. We're not going to water down the gospel. But we are going to make every effort to build a bridge for people who don't have a church background or an understanding to be part of it. Another thing we want to do, a big goal, is to attract younger families. And I know we all have this concern when we were doing the results of our Natural Church Development survey. A couple of you asked questions of Mr. Shaw. What about young people? I look around and we're getting older, so what do we do about that? I just totally lost my train of thought. That's what happens when you don't. Oh, good. There's no clock up there. That's what happens when you don't take notes, Randy. Well, listen. We need. Okay, I remember. This is not something that's unique to Central Christian Church of Rockford, Illinois. It's happening all over. And in fact, it has to do with that we're living in unprecedented times. We have four, even five generations of people in our church family, and it's difficult with the changes in music style and the changes in methods of communication, different events in our life. We have an older generation that's been shaped by the Depression and World War II, and a younger one that's, it's 9/11, it's having a phone that is constantly communicating with you. And so it's kind of a good news, bad news thing. People are living longer, and that's good news. I think a lot of you are enjoying that fact. The difficulty is that it makes it harder to touch everybody. And that's a challenge and something we're going to have to work on. I wish I knew what the answer to that was, that I could say, here's what we're going to do and here's how we're going to fix it. I don't know what that is. I know it'll take sacrifice. I know it will take work. I know there'll be changes, and nobody likes changes. But I guess, you know, you can decide as these things happen, if you're going to get grumpy and be that way, or if you're going to be willing to build a bridge. You remember that poem I used the last time I talked about these two goals? The older man who had crossed the chasm, he was safe on the other side. He built a bridge. He didn't need the bridge. Maybe he didn't even like the bridge. But he built it before the young people become behind. And that's what I want to, the big challenge I want to put out for you this morning. You know, grab onto that. Be a builder. Be a builder. All right. Thanks for listening.
All right. Years ago, I was asked if I could help in the local church. And, yeah. And I thought, yeah, right. I work all week long. I serve people all week long. Like, this is what I want to do on a Sunday. And I thought, well, what do you actually do at the local church? You know, like, how many things can there actually be to do? Is anybody out there thinking that? Raise your hand. Well, all right. I'm glad you asked. Because recently, I sent an email to our connections minister, and I asked him to give me a list of things that there is to do in our church here at Central Christian Church. And I'm going to be good enough to try to do this in 5 minutes. All right? So here we go. Yeah. First one, small groups. You can lead small groups or host small groups in your home. Children's ministry, nursery worker, preschool Sunday school teacher, preschool worship, elementary Sunday school teacher, deep cleaning crew, people who come during the week and deep clean the classrooms, children's church, teachers, helpers, song leaders, coordinator, nursery workers for Wednesday night programming, middle and high school, youth sponsors, attend meetings, build relationships with young people, middle school and high school Sunday school teachers or class assistants, guys and girls high school small group co-leaders, food coordinators, plan, recruit, and prepare food for special events. Missions committee, come and join the committee. Help decide how Central supports the local foreign missions, local and foreign missions. Creative worship team, video recording, drama and or skit preparation. Building and grounds, lawn mowing, snow removal and salting. General building maintenance, setup and teardown crews for events. I don't feel like a carpenter at this point. I feel like an auctioneer. Sunday morning worship, instrumentalists, singers, drama, video projection team, soundboard, lights and video recordings, vacation Bible school, leaders and helpers, kitchen help, decorating crew, worship leaders, coordinators, van ministry, drive the van and pick up people who want to come to church services, help with the vehicle maintenance, women's ministry, planning committee, help plan and organize events for the women's ministry. Child care, event execution, adult education, Sunday school teachers, Into Life Wednesday night programming teachers, help prepare family dinner for Wednesday night programming, a church librarian, technology, maintain the church's Facebook page, maintain the church's website, assist with office IT issues, benevolence, visit shut-ins, prepare and serve food at Rockford Rescue Mission. Visit and pray with people in the hospital. Outreach committee. Sunday morning greeter. Volunteer for annual car show. Kids Hope USA mentor. Prayer partner. Volunteer for trunks and treats. And volunteer for the Angel Tree Ministry. And there are many more. That's just a small amount of them. And then I got to thinking, okay, there are a lot of things to do here at Central Christian Church. But what does Scripture say about serving? So I kind of looked a few up. Matthew 23:11 says, "The greatest among you will be your servant." 1 Peter 4:10, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." Galatians 4:10, 6:10, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." Matthew 5:25-40. "And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." Isaiah 58:10, "Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon." Romans 12:4-7, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving. The one who teaches in his teaching. Luke 22:27. And I'm almost done with scripture, all right? For who is greater, one who reclines at the table or one who serves? It is not the one who reclines at the table, but I am among you as the one who serves. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Isaiah 6:8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here I am, Lord, send me. These are all scriptures, and these are all many ways that we could be serving at the church. We are all God's people. I am challenging you here today to come and serve at the church. I'm a carpenter, all right? Not really, but you know, I'm dressed up as one. Jesus Christ was a carpenter, all right? He came here to serve. He was a servant. He was not here to be served. Let us all remember that as we move forward and we volunteer here at Central Christian Church.
Thank you, Randy. I can't be as funny as my fellow elders, but I can sound funny. Another important aspect of membership here at Central, along with meeting together in fellowship and in service, is meeting together regularly to collectively worship our Lord and King. Now, the tricky word here is regularly. Just how regular is regular? A fair question on which opinions would vary. One extreme viewpoint would be found in the practice of those folks who show up to church service only on Christmas and Easter. Some folks call them Chesters, but I hope not to their face. Many of these so-called Chesters would consider showing up those 2 days every year of regular church attendance, which I suppose, technically, if you do just one thing every year at the same time, it is regular. But I think we can do better than that. I think we are demanded to do better on account of the effect church attendance has on our spiritual life. The Apostle Paul spells that out in Hebrews chapter 10, where he says, And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. First of all, in this passage, Paul instructs us to spur one another toward love. The importance of love for one another as Christians is a reoccurring theme in the New Testament. I'll give just a few examples. In John chapter 13, a new command I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know you are my disciples, if you love one another. John chapter 15, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Romans 12, he devoted to one another in brotherly love. Ephesians 4, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. 1 Thessalonians, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other. 1 Peter chapter 1, love one another deeply from the heart. And 1 Peter chapter 2, love the brotherhood of believers. And these are just, like I said, just a few of the many verses in the New Testament admonishing us to love one another. But it is a difficult thing to develop a loving relationship with people you never see. And that is our loss. For Paul goes on to point out that when we meet together, that provides us an opportunity for us to encourage one another. And who among us does not need an occasional shot of encouragement? One cannot stay encouraged and spiritually healthy while separated from the rest of the church body. So again, how regular is regular? How serious are you about your faith? We understand that there are times when there are insurmountable circumstances preventing you from being here. For the majority of Sunday morning worship services. But if you are in that sort of situation, you need to periodically re-examine these circumstances and look for ways to be here more often with those who love you and miss you when you're missing.
Thank you. Good morning. And, I don't mean to embarrass anybody, but, I'm so thankful for our church community as we pray for Lori. And, there's another miracle in the back, a very humble man, and I don't want to embarrass Wally Johnson, but, just about, 10 days ago, he had brain surgery, and he is here today. The church is all about prayer, and it's wonderful that we could share with your families through the good times, through the bad times. We love you, and that's what community is all about. And I'd like to speak about community groups. One thing you may have noticed is that they did save the best for last. And, of course, I'm very humble. But as we think about community groups, the other Brian reminded me of the verse in Acts that talked about day by day they gathered in the temple and they broke bread together house by house and they gathered for meals with gladness and sincerity. And that's what small groups are all about. Times to get together, to love together, to hug each other, to pray together, to cry together, to laugh together. It's a time when we can be human. Sometimes we can avoid that human touch in Sunday school classes when you have a teacher-student relationship. Or maybe you're on a ministry team and you're task-orientated. But when you're in a community group, you're rubbing elbows with each other. And that's what Christianity is all about. From the time of the day of Pentecost until just the beginning of the last century when Steve Hornbeck was a child, we didn't have this fancy transportation system. Now think about today, not the ideal temperature out. How far would you like to walk to church? Or maybe you had a donkey or a horse that you rode, or maybe you rode in a buggy to church. And that's how they got there, wasn't it, for centuries. Churches were smaller, they were neighborhood-based, weren't they? Community-based. You didn't just see them Sunday morning. You saw them Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It may have been at a school. It may have been in the market. It may have been at the general store. They may have lived two houses down from you, maybe a couple streets over. When they were sick, you were there taking care of their kids, weren't you? You were babysitting them. I lived in rural southern Wisconsin in dairy country, and, a farmer got sick. We were over there milking their cows, 5 o'clock in the morning. And, that's what community and church is all about, putting your arm around that next person, giving them a helping hand. But that's a big challenge in today's church. Some of you come from Rochelle or South Beloit or Roscoe or Rockton, maybe the far west side of Rockford even, Belvedere, a foreign land, you know. How do we maintain community? We might only see each other Sunday mornings. What a tragedy. That's not the way God designed his church. And this is why we made the commitment to bring Brian Rodert on staff. Because community is the whole foundation of the entire church. Without community, there is no church. And so it's important, very, very important. It gives us a sense of neighborhood, a sense of family, a sense of togetherness, a chance to build relationships that are eternal. And it's a time to practice breaking of bread in each other's homes. You know, in 2 weeks, Brian Roder's going to dedicate a sermon to community groups, to small groups. They're going to start a sign-up. New groups are going to be starting in February and in the spring. And if you're not in a community group, would you consider joining? You may have to change your schedule. Maybe you're too busy. I know when Kathy and I were raising our 2 kids, how many after-school activities were there? Oh, about 300 a week, you know? But there's some things we set aside. You know, Sunday morning was sacred. Our kids wanted to be on traveling soccer teams. Couldn't do it till we found one finally that didn't practice and play on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights. You know, Wednesday nights used to be a time when schools did not have activities, so children could do what? Be with their families and attend church on Wednesday nights. Doesn't exist anymore, does it? So today, in our culture, trying to have community is much more of a challenge than when, yes, Steve Hornbeck was a kid. But it's just so important. There's nothing more important than that person next to you in the pew right now. They're here today with you. They're going to be in eternity with you. Make sure you get along with them. Right? And again, pray about the 24th. You know, our little motto is love God, love people. Very short and sweet. But that's what it's all about, isn't it? Loving God and loving people. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for the opportunity to put my arm around you, to hug you, and to pray for you each and every day. God bless.
I want to just point out, first of all, thank you guys for sharing with the church family this morning. And point out that you've got a leadership at Central that does love you. And I'm speaking on their behalf because I've seen that in them and how they serve. And I want to tell you that I love you too. And it's contrary to my introverted nature to say that very often. So if you get that from me, you've really scored. But I just very much appreciate the guys sharing this morning. And really what you have heard, let me summarize it. That's my job now. Really what you have heard are a couple of the big goals that we're going to have here in the immediate future as we look into this new year. And you have also heard basically a summary description of what does it mean to be part of Central Christian Church. Did you hear it? It means basically 3 things. We'd expect that if you're part of the church, that you're serving. In some capacity, you're serving. We'd expect that if you're part of Central Christian Church, that you're here regularly for worship. And that's what Jody was talking about, regularly for worship. We also think that it's very important that if you're part of Central Christian Church, it means you're also part of some small group, some place, some group of smaller setting where you're able to develop relationships and be part of a community of believers, not just part of a large group of people once a week on Sunday morning. So my job has been to introduce that, say, this is what we're going to say. You heard it said, and now I'm telling you what was said. And from here, we've got something good to do. I want to ask you, if you would, please, to stand. Let's stand together. And it's great that already everybody has kind of scooted in this morning. You know, Todd commented earlier, wow, you sound great this morning. I noticed that too. And I'm being serious. I think there is just something about being closer to one another that causes that synergy, if you will, for us to sound together. And so I want to ask you to do something this morning. We're not going to offer an invitation. Christ's invitation, by the way, is always open, so we don't have to have just one moment when you can do that. But today, in response to the things that we have been looking at and talking about, I want to ask you to scoot closer even to one another and join hands. And we're going to pray, and we're going to end our worship time with a song after this, but right now, we're going to wrap it up by prayer. And we're going to thank God for the things that he's going to do. And we're going to commit to him being what he wants us to be. Helping to see that vision of a community that is continually being transformed into what Jesus looks like. Let's pray together. Father, we rejoice for how good you have been to this church family for over 150 years you have been at work in this community through a group of people who called themselves Central Christian Church. Before that, Lord, even so, we are part of a group of people who called themselves Christians, who wear the name of Jesus into the world, who get to be a part of something that is very dear and important to you. The mission that you sought to accomplish in sending Jesus to die and to offer himself as the ransom for us. And now here we stand, Lord, at the brink of this new year, 2016, when so much change has taken place. And the church all along has been watching itself as it's tried to remain what you have called us to be in the places where you've placed us. We're here in this community. Lord, we're here at this time. You've given us incredible resources. You have put together wonderful people. You've given us your Spirit living inside of us. You have provided us with freedom and opportunities unlike any other time before. And God, I thank you for those things. How exciting to be part of your church, your kingdom right now. Lord, it's easy for us to look around and to see where, in a lot of ways, your people have lost ground or have cowered in fear and to become discouraged. And I know that's the work of the enemy. We don't want that. We want to be the people who stand out for you. We want to be together, people who show what it means to follow Christ and to be real. And God, I pray that you'd help us, not just to look upon ourselves and what we can gain from being your people, but to look out and to see who can be your people who haven't yet become followers of Christ. God, open our eyes. Help us to see as a church family how we can encourage each other to do that, to do the very thing that we heard from your word, to see how we can spur one another on to love and good deeds. And Lord, we know that there will be great joy. A joy among us as we see lives changed, and joy one day in heaven as we'll see a greater number of people who know you because of the commitment that we make to you. So we place ourselves before you. We invite you, God, to use us and help us to see what that will look like, to not give up. We pray in Jesus' name.